On today's episode, we'll cover some major recent injuries, some of the best players of the last 2 weeks, and we'll look back at the first half of the season, which will help us look ahead to the rest of this year and next. That's today on Fastball Fantasy Baseball. I'm Taylor Tarter, and this is Fastball Fantasy Baseball. Let's get into it. So, obviously, one of the biggest pieces of news last week or so has been Ronald Acuña tearing his ACL. And we'll get into that a little bit more when we cover injuries and recoveries. But, man, what a bummer. And, like, I'm a Nats fan. You're a Phillies fan. But we're baseball fans. And, like, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably a baseball fan, too. That's why you play fantasy baseball. Right. And seeing him go down is sad for the sport of baseball. It's sad for fantasy baseball. Right. It's just a bummer, but we'll get into the injury in a little bit. I don't know if you want to add anything there.
Well, you know, it's bad when my mother, who is absolutely a brutal, brutal Phillies fan, she loathes everyone who isn't a Philadelphia Philly. When she texted me and just said that she was sad that Acuña got hurt, that speaks volumes about the impact the guy has in the game.
Yeah.
So I couldn't believe my mom said that.
Yeah. Another kind of big piece of news that we'll touch on, but I don't want to get into too much, is Trevor Bauer. And I'm not going to get into what he allegedly did because we don't have all the facts. They're still investigating, right? But this is definitely not a good look for him. It's really bad if everything is true, but fantasy wise, what are you doing with him if you have him? Are you like looking to trade?
I mean, what's his value? You got to find somebody in your league that wants to take a flyer on somebody who could potentially go to jail. Like, I think you're stuck with dead weight. If you caught him, I couldn't fault you. Will he come back and pitch this year? Maybe. This is some pretty heavy stuff, though. I'm sure if you hear Trevor Bauer, he thinks he's going to pitch next week. But it's really tough situation as an owner to be in. I think I'd probably cut bait.
Really? Yeah. I think, like, the only league I think I would potentially cut him, like, now is if I was in a redraft league. But even then, I still want to wait, like, another week at least to try to figure out, like, to see what happens, basically. You know,
I think it depends on your situation too, because we're kind of getting down to the nitty-gritty part of the season, and you know, a dead roster space is really potentially really going to hurt you based off your potential to stream and gather stats and points that way. So that's kind of the way I feel about it. I mean, if you're dead set number one seed, maybe you ride it out. You don't have to worry about anything. But if you're teeter-tottering between making the playoffs or not, you got to cut them.
Yeah, and so this happened in one of my leagues where I actually traded for him. I acquired him and Kyle Tucker in a deal. I sent Freddie Peralta and Edwin Diaz. And nice. I did that because I really wanted Kyle Tucker. I believe that he's going to be very, very good this year and for the rest of the season. And I am very deep at pitching in that league, like Max Scherzer, got a couple other, you know, big guys, Joe Musgrove, players that I think are gonna continue to do pretty well. So I kind of took a flyer there, and it's also a keeper league. So that's something, you know, that gives me a little potentially trade bait going into next season. If again, everything kind of smooths over for him, which we'll see, right? But we'll, you know, we're gonna drop him now as a topic, and we're gonna move on. So before we get into anything else, let's do a quick league recap. So I've been having a rough couple of weeks with bad pitching in my head-to-head league. And I know I just talked about I have good pitchers. hasn't been a great 2 weeks. I split 5-5 in the previous matchup. And even though I'm having two of the best offensive weeks, two of the best offensive matchups of my season, I'm playing against teams that are also having their best offensive matchups of the season. So where maybe a couple weeks ago I was winning games, you know, handily in my categories league, now like the offenses are starting to pick up a little bit. And so it's looking like I'm going to have another tie this week in that categories league. But remember, for those in, at least in ESPN leagues, this matchup is going till Sunday. And so in that league, I'm still in first, but that lead is narrowing now because of a couple of rough weeks. And then in my 12-team points league, I won my last matchup, but it was close. Semien, Albies, and Muncy carried my offense in that league. I got a great pitching performance out of Anthony DeSclafani, who we've talked about here before, having a career year. And then this matchup, it's Gallo, Grisham, and surprisingly Max Kepler, who are carrying my offense, and Kevin Gausman, no surprise, leading the way for my pitching staff. Found a couple of good streaming arms this matchup, which, you know, has been one of my strategies in this league. Picked up Willie Peralta, Alec Mills, who had a couple good games for me. And then we'll go over a few more streamers for the weekend in a little bit. How Especially did you for do me, in your leagues?
Yeah, I mean, the one that really matters, it's our points league. I feel like I'm a bit of a fraudulent team at this point. I have succumbed to injuries. It's been a really good run for me prior to maybe 2 weeks ago because I've just been healthy. Then Shane Bieber got bit by the bug, and now I've just lost Ronald Acuna. Framber Valdez has had a couple bad starts in a row. Aaron Nola, who knows what's going on with that guy? Like, let's set some records.
It's been wild.
Then let's get blown up, you know? So I've been teeter-tottering. And in fact, I only won 2 weeks ago because for some ridiculous reason, my opponent had started Alizé for the Cubs on Sunday Night Baseball, and he had a lead, and he got destroyed in that game, and I ended up winning just because of that.
Because of negative points, yeah.
Yeah, big time negative start for him, and I ended up winning by a couple points that were. But so it goes. You just got to manage these injuries and kind of hope and pray that you can come out on the other side with some health. And I mean, it's a shame Acuna's gone because he truly was the best offensive player on my team. So he just, it's next man up right now, you know? It's going to be fun navigating these next 4 days to see how we can string some points together. But yeah, I don't, if my team goes into the playoffs looking like this, I don't see myself making a pretty good run.
And with that, let's go ahead and go over some players who have had the best performances over the last 2 weeks. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. So Texas outfielder Joey Gallo, the last 2 weeks he went 12-34. It's a .353 batting average, 12 runs, 9 home runs, and 14 RBI. Ohtani, he's also had a great 2 weeks, but everyone talks about Ohtani nonstop. So I want to talk about Gallo. I have him in both the leagues that I'm in. I traded to acquire him in one league. I drafted him in the other. And he is like, he epitomizes my strategy, right? He gets me in my three power categories. I don't care about average. I sacrifice average. He started slow, but he's turning it on now. And I knew the power was coming. And if you look at the Statcast data and the hard contact metrics, you would have seen this too. You know, the barrel rate, the hard hit rate, the contact rates, they all look good. 20% barrel rate, that's the fifth best in baseball. 16th best hard contact rate. So home run to fly ball rate is around 30% compared to a 28% career rate. So pace-wise, home run pace-wise, it looks good. Probably looking like a 40 home run season for him. Maybe even double-digit steals. He has 6 already. So I think there's some really good value there.
Also, listening to all these interviews over the All-Star break, sounds like Joey Gallo stands a chance to get traded at the deadline potentially. And that'd be fun. Imagine where he could go and what stadium he could mash in.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see him moved and a couple other Texas players. But that's something that we'll talk about next week. There were a couple pitchers in their last three starts last 2 weeks with three quality starts: Robbie Ray, John Gray, Jordan Lyles, Eric Lauer. But the best of the bunch was Colorado starting pitcher Herman Marquez. He went 22 innings pitched over his last 2 weeks with 25 strikeouts and only two earned runs given up over those 22 innings. 9 hits, 3 walks. He picked up wins against Pittsburgh, which was not surprising to see. But he won over San Diego too, which is impressive. The Pittsburgh game was a one-hitter for him. He has a 3.36 ERA right now that's backed up by a 2.70 BABIP and an 11% home run to fly ball rate. He has 9 strikeouts per 9, which is pretty solid. He's leaning on his fastball slider combo, but his best pitch has been his curveball. His batting average against that pitch is 149, and his expected batting average against that pitch is 149. Now, this is another guy who we could see traded by the deadline. I could see him, I see him in maybe a Yankees uniform, Mets,
the thing
maybe.
About him, I think he's under team control for a little bit as well. So he could garner like a king's ransom for the Rockies, who, again, maybe we save some stuff for next. Well, we'll play and talk about next week, but the Rockies are looking at shipping out Trevor Story. Imagine the package deal with Story and Marquez. I mean, what you could pull from a team's organization to totally just redo your organization.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And, this is a guy, Herman Marquez, where I'm buying now if I can, especially if he goes to, like San Diego. What if he goes there, or another pitcher's park? That his value is going to go way up. So I'm trying to get him now if possible. He is going to help win leagues this year, whether he gets traded or not in regular baseball. And so just as a reminder that we are still dealing with this, there has been a COVID-19 outbreak with the Phils. So let's go over that.
Coronavirus!
So I'm sure you have heard about this. Sorry. So very, very quickly, Boehm tested positive on July 11th. He's out for at least 10 days. So playing accordingly, that means he cannot come back until the 21st. You got a couple other players out because of contact tracing. Pitchers Bailey Falter, Connor Brogdon, and Chase Anderson, and Aaron Nola. Nola's the only one there that's fantasy relevant. This is actually very lucky that it happened when it did, because they didn't have to avoid, they didn't have to cancel or postpone any games. They were able to avoid that. But Nola and those other guys have to quarantine for a week, test negative, and go through that protocol before they return. He's another player to monitor with this situation. As a Phillies fan, how do you feel about this?
Maybe Aaron Nola can figure out how to pitch again. I don't know. Take this time, just go into a sweat box, maybe turn some music on and just zen out and figure out what's going on, Aaron Nola. Come on, buddy.
Yeah, so I just want to say, like, this is still an issue. People are still getting it. Be safe. Wear a mask if you have to.
And if I can for a second, Boehm finally started hitting, and then he got COVID.
Yeah.
I've been holding Boehm the whole freaking year. I digress.
All right, let's talk some injuries and recoveries before we go to break.
Ouch, baby. Very ouch.
So there's been a bunch of players hitting the IL right before the All-Star break. A lot of these guys, I wouldn't put a ton of stock in, their IL stint. A lot of them can get backdated a couple of days. And so it's just, you know, having them recuperate basically. And, you know, a lot of those guys are going to be back by the time the All-Star break is over. Yu Darvish, somebody like that. So one that is not coming back for a while that we've mentioned already is Atlanta outfielder Ronald Acuña, torn ACL, probably not back until late next year, if that. This really hurts Atlanta's playoff hopes. It hurts fantasy baseball playoff hopes for a lot of people. Now you have Acuña, and this is a keeper league, kind of sort of transitioning into a dynasty league a little bit. What are you doing with Acuña?
I mean, there's no way I'm parting with the guy. The challenge is just to find someone, some duct tape to plug the hole of this sinking ship that I'm managing right now. You can't trade Acuña unless it's even in a redraft league. He's not playing the rest of the year. I mean, you caught him if it's a redraft league, but there's just no way that you can part with a guy like that. I mean, there's some concern. You wonder if he's still going to be able to run with the same vigor that he had prior to having the injury. You're faced with having to think of, you know, back in the day when Mickey Mantle tore up his ACL and he never was able to run again. But I think we've advanced far enough in modern medicine to the point where, all right, you got to be confident that he's going to be able to run at least a little bit the way he used to. And it shouldn't really change
players.
Yeah. Yeah. And it shouldn't really change his swing profile or how hard he hits the ball. I mean, he's still going to mash. So I rest assured you can keep Acuña in a keeper league and not worry too much about it, I think.
Are you looking at any players in particular who you think, you know, on the waiver wire right now? Our league is a pretty deep league, so there's not a ton out there. But are there any trade pieces or free agents or minor league guys like Drew Waters, for example, in the Braves system? Are you looking at any particular players there?
Almost instantly, you have to think that Drew Waters is going to be able to get some playing time up here. And maybe if he's available in your league, that's a guy worth picking up and plugging in your roster at least for a week or two to see, you know, what he's made out of if they do play him. But personally for me, yeah, it's been a little bit of a waiver wire ad situation before. And again, this only just happened before the All-Star break. So I'm considering trying my hand with Jake Fraley again. He's got a good profile, and he seems to be garnering a lot of playing time out in Seattle, and he's getting on base a lot. So that's a guy that is on my radar for sure to plug and see, you know, what he can get out of him. But outside of that, yeah, there needs to be more research done. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't even know. I kind of would be, I think, leaning more towards Drew Waters as like a speculative ad there, and kind of maybe seeing what's out there in the trade market. This is if I had him in a similar situation, because in a lot of leagues, outfield has been pretty sparse the entire season in on the waiver wire. But yeah, he's hard to replace.
Nah, he's irreplaceable. Yeah. You're just hoping to just get a Band-Aid.
Yeah. A couple other injuries. White Sox catcher Yasmani Grandal. Are they cursed this year? Everybody gets hurt on that team. It's so bad. Yeah. So Zach Collins is taking over as the primary catcher. He's got a lot of swing and miss, but the hard contact is good, especially for a catcher. Good barrel rate, good hard hit rate, good hard contact. He drives the ball well, puts the ball in the air. To me, he's probably only a deep league ad, but he's somebody to keep an eye on, especially if you're kind of like rotating in catchers. He's going to get a lot of time there. And then we got Yu Darvish, got put on the IL right before the All-Star break for hip inflammation. But this is one of those guys where I think it's a little bit more protocol, just throw him on, backdate it a little bit, and so you can bring him back pretty soon after the break. So I wouldn't worry too much there. As far as recoveries, some good news. Atlanta starting pitcher Huascar Ynoa, he is throwing off a mound this week. So he is getting close to a comeback. Should see him maybe by August, which is good for playoff hopes for a lot of fantasy managers. Another guy that's going to help out fantasy managers in a month or two is Chris Sale. He is throwing a two-inning simulated game tomorrow. If you haven't added him yet and you have an IL spot, you need to add him now, and you might be too late. I think he's scooped up in our league. But another player who's nearing a comeback is White Sox outfielder Eloy Jimenez. I think he actually had a rehab outing the other day. It was postponed, but I think he had a rehab outing the other day. I'm actually kind of surprised that he's coming back this season. I was not expecting that, you know, in March or April. No. The White Sox need him so badly. I just hope that they're not rushing him because they need him so bad.
Yeah.
Another player, you know, he's another player where it might be too late for you to add him. I tried to get him in one league and did not.
Yeah. And that team is going to be players in the trade market as well.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll be interesting.
And Houston third baseman Alex Bregman, he is probably going to come back in late July. He should be starting a rehab assignment after the All-Star break. He's been really disappointing this season. He's got bad metrics. He's got bad data behind him, kind of backing up the lack of production. He's not hitting the ball hard. You know, for a guy that typically does that, he's got lots of ground balls and he has the second highest swing and miss rate of his career. So, he's a guy I'm actually glad I traded away. Los Angeles Angels outfielder Mike Trout, no update from the team on him, but I expect him to be back by late July, we think, maybe early August. But I mean, he's still a stud. Like, I don't think I've seen a lot of, like, you know, I'm in Facebook baseball and fantasy baseball groups, and I'm seeing a lot of people like grade my trade. And lots of shipping away Mike Trout. And I'm like, don't do that. He's still good.
Give me all the Mike Trout.
I know.
Give me all the Mike Trout.
if I can buy low, I am, like, you know, but if I have him, I don't want to trade him away. Dodger shortstop Corey Seager, he's finally going to start taking at bats. He's likely still a few weeks away from a return. I think he's got a better outlook than Bregman this year. Seager looks like he's actually underperforming his metrics. He's got much better contact metrics, and he just needs to improve his launch angle. Basically, his ground ball rate's too high, his fly ball rate's too low, and I think that's the reason why he's got suppressed home runs, even with a really high hard contact rate. But that's something that, like, a hitting coach will fix, you know, over the next couple of weeks. So get ready for Corey Seager to come back. He'll be better. A couple other players, Mets starting pitcher Carlos Carrasco and outfielder JD Davis. You can see both return shortly after the All-Star break. I don't know how you feel about Carrasco. I kind of worry about him just because of a lot of setbacks in the recovery. He's not going to be stretched out. I kind of see him like a David Price the rest of the season, where they're going to let him go like three innings and you know, because how long is it going to take him to stretch out? You know, he's going to come back. He's going to come back in a week. He's going to be stretched out by like late August.
Yeah. I mean, maybe a really good guy to have on your team for a playoff run, but it's not like he's going to jump back in and throw six innings and get quality starts for you. It's not happening. And not to mention, you know, there's been a pretty consistent trend of setbacks. So worth stashing for sure. But if you need to cut somebody loose, that's also a guy that probably is a top of my list to cut first.
Yep. And as far as JD Davis, I think he should be added when he comes back. You know, especially if you need that like outfield third base depth, he's a guy that,
yes,
you know, you could look at to get a decent average, couple home runs. And lastly, New York starting pitcher Luis Severino, he had a few bullpen sessions in the last week. He'll be facing live hitters soon. And the Yankees desperately need him. Yes. And with that, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll look at streamers and we'll dig into the first half of the season and what it might mean for the rest of the season and in the next year. We'll do that right after a word from our sponsor.
Am I streaming?
Because of the All-Star break, we'll cover streamers from this Friday to next Wednesday. A couple of shallow league streamers for you. I'm still banking on the Yankees offense struggling, so I would go after Eovaldi and Pivetta against the Yanks on Saturday the 17th and Sunday the 18th. Eovaldi gets them again the following week, so you could hang on to him. Kyle Gibson is another shallow league target I'm looking for against Detroit on Monday the 19th.
And deep league streamers, in that same game against Gibson, you've got Tarik Skubal, which I'm a fan of. And they're letting him roll deep into games too, so he's going to have the ability to go 6 and 7 innings. And that's, again, against Texas on Monday the 19th. Then also consider Alex Cobb against Seattle Saturday the 17th, as well as Patrick Sandoval, again, against Seattle on Sunday the 18th.
We're going to wrap up today by looking at players who could make the biggest jump in ADP from this season to next because of how they're doing this year. So let's get into that. So we're doing a bit of looking ahead here, and you know, we're taking first half stats and kind of assuming that these players keep this up, and part of this is assuming health as well. So but for the sake of this, right, what we're doing is getting an idea of what players might have the biggest increase in average draft position for next year. This is going to help us, especially in like keeper leagues and dynasty leagues, establish a value for the rest of the way, you know, in case you're looking at trading or, you know, whatever, if you want to keep a guy or not. So this is hopefully a useful tool, a useful topic for you listening. One of the first players that came to mind for me as a player who's likely to see an increase in ADP is Angels first base outfield Jared Walsh. So in NFBC leagues, he went 218. In ESPN, he was 166. And in Yahoo, he was 223. For me, he easily makes it into the top 100 next year, maybe even top 75. He's an absolute beast. He looks like a 270 hitter with 35 to 40 home run power. He upped his barrel rate and his line drive rate, so he's driving the ball more, making that 332 BABIP and 31% home run to fly ball rate look sustainable and not, you know, luck-based. He's got elite hard contact and hard hit percent. And one of my favorite things to talk about with him is since his debut in 2020, he's fifth in baseball in home runs and third in RBI. And he's ninth in WOBA, which is weighted on base average, which is sort of like a catch-all offensive stat that like accumulates a bunch of stuff. But basically what it means is he's really, really good.
He good. Taylor, I think we could 100% confirm that we are both Walshy fanboys. I mean, the guy is a complete stud. And what a transition he's made, what a career he's already had being drafted as a dual position player initially. I mean, he was a pitcher and a hitter, much in the way of like a Brendan McKay or Ohtani currently. He actually threw 5 pro innings and only gave up a single run. So you could actually say he has a lower ERA than Shohei Ohtani professionally. Meanwhile, still hitting bombs. But he ditched the mounds to focus on hitting. And now look, he's an all-star.
What a great choice.
I know, what a great move. And not only is he a dual pitcher potentially and hitter, but he plays first base. And if you watch the All-Star game, this man's out left field making game-saving sliding catches. What a crazy man he is. He's every owner's pipe dream, a late-round flyer that pays off handsomely. But like you said, the days of getting Walsh outside of the top 100 picks, I think, are long gone. As a side note, the draft happened this weekend. And maybe you noticed, maybe you didn't, but I saw this and I could not believe it. I mean, we know that the Angels have pitching problems, but the way that they have chosen to address this is they have selected 20 pitchers out of 20 draft picks, 19 of which are college pitchers, which means like that maybe a quicker time to get into the show. What an awesome, like almost like fantasy manager way to handle an organization.
That's like, I didn't know that, but that's like they just like threw a hand, like they had two fistfuls of darts and they threw it at the dartboard and they were like, one of these is gonna hit.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Another guy like who I think is gonna jump way up in ADP is San Diego infielder Jake Cronenworth. He's a guy that we've talked about on the podcast before, is like kind of coming out of nowhere this year. He's been a good contact hitter, but he's really upped the rest of his stats this year. He went 200 in NFBC leagues, 181 in ESPN, and 195 in Yahoo. And, you know, he's got great plate discipline. I think he probably finishes around a 280 average. But the power, like we've said before, is kind of coming out of nowhere. He's got 12 home runs already halfway through the season. The most he had in the minors in a full season was 10. The difference is better launch angle, more fly balls. And that means you get more of a chance at home runs. I think it's legit. I think he moves up to maybe the 125, 150 range, somewhere around there.
And not to mention, he's already qualified for first base, second base, and shortstop for next season in most leagues. And you got to love the eligibility there, the flexibility.
Yeah, positional flexibility is, you know, that's something that adds value. And another player like that is Colorado infielder Ryan McMahon. He went no higher than 212 in the various leagues. This year, he's going to have his best pro season. It's still not the, you know, like the 330 home run season that everybody kind of expected when he was going through the minors, but he is doing things to improve. He's improving discipline. His strikeout rate and swinging strikeout rates are down. His overall contact rates are up. He's got a 305 BABIP versus a 312 career BABIP. So there could be some slight room for improvement to his batting average. But what we like most as fantasy managers is the power increase. I got some cool stats for you here. 47% hard hit rate, right? That's 25th among all qualified hitters. It's by position. He's got the sixth highest hard hit rate for first baseman, the highest hard hit rate for second baseman, and the fourth highest hard hit rate for third baseman. His hard contact percent is 42%. He's improved his launch angle. Like we said before, that plus more line drives plus more fly balls equals more home runs, right? And I think he can actually increase his home run pace. Right now it's at 19% home run to fly ball rate versus a 22% career home run to fly ball rate. I've been trying to trade for him. I've been trying to get him in every league, but it's been hard. Nobody wants to let him go. And there's your reason why. You know, he was outside of the top 200. I think he's easily inside the top 200, somewhere in that 175 to 200 range next season if he keeps this up and can get his batting average up a little bit.
I think personally for me, McMahon is one of those guys where you picked up early in the season potentially, and you may have dropped him because he slumped a little bit, and now you're totally regretting it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I wish somebody in one of my leagues dropped him. One player that he's my ride or die in one league, is Toronto second base shortstop Marcus Semien. He went 122 in NFBC, 78 in ESPN, and 139 in Yahoo. This is one the ESPN guys got right. He looks, you know, this is a lot like his 2019 season, where he had a 285 batting average, 33 home runs, 123 runs, right, that season, 10 stolen bases. But he might be better this year in everything except average. He's already at 10 stolen bases. He's already at 22 home runs. He's made improvements to barrel rate. It's up 3% from his 2019 season. His hard hit percent is up 5%. And his launch angle is also a little bit more conducive to home runs this year. He's also got a better fly ball rate this year, and he's increased his home run to fly ball rate, which kind of is, it's backed up by the hard contact. So I buy it. And, you know, he plays on the same team as Vlad, Bo, Springer. So there's a lot of opportunity to pick up stats.
Yeah. I like Semmy a lot. He gets no respect.
No.
Nobody cares about him. I even noticed we were flipping through the All-Star Game book. What do they call them? The programs, right? So he's in it, his name, but the photo is actually Teoscar Hernandez.
No.
So they didn't even have his real photo in there, you know? And not only that, nobody was offering him a long-term deal. I mean, he bettered himself. He only signed a one-year deal for $18 million, and now you know, you love those guys. Yeah, you're gonna get paid contract year. Yeah, if you, I mean, whoever has him is probably gonna hold him for a while. But if you can acquire him right now, go ahead and get him.
Yeah, and I think the big jump is gonna be in non ESPN leagues. To me, he's easily a top 75 guy for next season.
Yeah,
another middle infielder here that is definitely going to see an increase in ADP is Carlos Correa. He went 120 in NFBC, 128 in ESPN, and 125 in Yahoo. So all kind of the same range. Now, I think the reason for that was a lot of people were probably skeptical about the injury history. He had a mediocre 2020. He had the cheating scandal in 2019. But this year he's proving the doubters and any of his haters wrong. He's on pace for career highs in home runs, runs, RBI, and batting average. He's got much better plate discipline numbers, which are helping him improve his average. He has increased his walk rate. He's decreased his strikeout percent and his chase rate. And that tells you that the batting average increase is not BABIP driven. It's discipline driven. His offensive increase is a product of hard contact. So, you know, this is one of those things where if you're not looking at Fangraphs, if you're not looking at StatCast, and you're not looking at hard contact, and you're just going off of roto stats, you have to dig into this stuff. 9.5% barrel rate, that's the second best of his career. So home run to fly ball rate actually has room to improve. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a couple home runs from him out of the All-Star break. And this is a guy I'm not going to be surprised if I see him go in the top 100 next season. And then you have Seattle outfielder Mitch Haniger. The highest he went is 206 in ESPN leagues. You know, these are people who bought way low on him in the draft because he was another guy who has an injury history, long injury layoff, you know, kind of not knowing what he was going to do. But to me, it was easy to see that in April, he was back to being a solid player. His BABIP's a bit low, so I expect that to go up. I think he probably finishes around like a 260 average, which is still pretty solid. He's a player that I bought. I traded to acquire because of his hard contact metrics. And I think you have him in our league, right?
Yeah. He's a total late round gem, just like Walshy. I'm equally a fanboy of Haniger as I am with Walshy.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there are tons of things that I like about him. 12% barrel rate, 43% hard hit rate. The one thing that I don't like is a 47% ground ball rate. That's high. But otherwise, he's doing really well. He's got 20 home runs already. To me, he looks like a 35 home run, somewhere in the 80s runs and RBI type of player. Yeah.
If only he had played in a better offense, you know, then
yeah,
the guy would really be producing big time.
Yep. And, you know, health pending, he should for sure be in that inside of the top 200 players for next season. And then two more here. Of course, I think one of the biggest increases we're going to see is with starting pitcher / designated hitter / maybe soon to be outfielder, Shohei Ohtani. from the Angels.
Yeah, what is there left to say about Ohtani that hasn't already been said? I mean, yeah, he's the talk of the town. We are in full-fledged Ohtani mania right now. In daily leagues where Ohtani is used as one player, he's a real-life cheat code. Preseason predictive models had him maxing out at 248 at-bats, 12 starts on the mound, and 64 innings pitched. Those were the maximum amount of predictive stats for each of those categories, and he's already exceeded all of them.
And that's a reason why I was skeptical. It was because, you know, I didn't think he would play enough at either position. So I guessed wrong.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you're not the only one. I mean, the only one who really knew what was going to happen here was Joe Maddon. So, I mean, we're looking at a guy. It's crazy because it was already lofty to expect him to do kind of any of that. And he's exceeded all these expectations. And he's leading the league in home runs. He's got a 12 K to 9 rate. And he's got a 3.5 ERA. It's completely preposterous. In some leagues, he is no doubt about it, like the number one overall selection, just really league depending in my opinion.
Yeah. This is another one that ESPN users got right. He went 28th. In ESPN leagues, but in NFBC, he went 176, and in Yahoo, he went 190. This guy is going to be a top 20 pick in every league next season. I think he's going to break Maris's home run record of 61 home runs. And, you know, to do it without steroids, I think is going to be, you know, impressive.
Yeah, while throwing 100 innings.
while being a good pitcher. So I'm going to give you some insane statistics. Okay.
Yeah.
419 ISO score, which measures your like extra base hits, you know, that sort of thing. It's like a power stat basically. The next highest ISO score is 370. And that's Fernando Tatis. So his BABIP is under 300. So I think he could be a 280 hitter, but his expected batting average is 294. Right. So there's room to grow in batting average from where he is right now. I think like 278 or something. The barrel rate, 26%, highest in baseball. Next closest is Tatis, 21%. He's basically tied with Aaron Judge for second in hard hit rate at 57%. The home run to fly ball rate is 38%. That means 38% of the balls he puts in the air are going out of the park. Normally, I would say that's so unsustainable. Like Jay Bruce had a home run to fly ball rate like that in like 2018 or something. And I was like, no, there's no way it's going to come down. Look at his other stats, right? He's not hitting the ball hard, blah, 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 blah. Well, Ohtani is hitting the ball hard, like harder than almost anybody else and consistently, right? So I think he can keep this pace up. He's putting 43% of his hits in the air. So This is real. And like, I think he can keep this up. I think he's going to hit like 65 home runs. And now I'm going to say something probably controversial. I think as a pitcher, he's a little bit more like average fantasy wise. you know, I think the mid three ERA seems right. You know, the K rate is good. Strikeouts per nine is good. But he walks a lot of batters, and that needs to get better. I'm not taking away from his, you know, from him being an incredible baseball player. Okay. Fantasy wise, I think he's just more spectacular as a batter.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to find people that are going to argue against you there. I mean, the stats really speak for themselves. But you know who you might have to make an argument for next year, if we could change topics a little bit, is Brandon Crawford, 34-year-old guy who absolutely should get a bump in next year's draft. But I expect the ageist approach of the fantasy baseball community to just bury him in the bottom of draft boards. He's having the absolute best year of his career in virtually every single statistic that exists. And he's only three homers away from his career high. He's got seven steals. Free Brandon Crawford.
Yeah, I totally agree here. He was like undrafted. You know, he was a waiver ad in essentially every league. And now I'm like trying to find a way to get him on my rosters. And you're right to also point out the fantasy community kind of like ignoring this season, you know, ignoring what he's doing this year because he's going to be old and he's Brandon Crawford, you know, who cares about Brandon Crawford, right? Yeah. Like, you know, but this is a guy that should absolutely at a bare minimum get drafted next year. And like, you know, if it's a 10 team league, you're around 250, 300 players, right? He should be drafted. So a couple honorable mentions here, Cedric Mullins, Jesse Winker, Adolis Garcia, Kevin Gausman, Freddie Peralta, Carlos Rodon, Robbie Ray. I think all those guys are also in line for an ADP increase. And some of the biggest losers, guys that I think are going to drop a bit, Bauer, of course, you know, with what's going on with him. I think Blake Snell is a guy that's going to, you know, he got drafted as like a top 25 starting pitcher. I think he's not going to be close to that next season. Christian Yelich and Cody Bellinger, I think, lose a bunch of value after this season. Marcelo Zuna, I think, is another player who's going to lose value. Your boy Kevin Biggio, I think, is a major candidate for losing
being
some
on
ADP.
Drafted next year.
Yeah. Anthony Rendon too, just being injured so much this year, he hasn't really done anything. You know, he was a top 40 guy. I think he's, you know, he's not going to be there next year. Alec Bohm, Keston Hira, I think lose a lot of value. And then DJ LeMahieu is having a really average season. And I just want to say very quickly, like, this is a guy that I have talked about before who totally outplayed his metrics his last couple years in New York. This guy is not a 30 home run hitter. And he got drafted this year like he was a 30 home run hitter. He's not. He might win a batting title, right? But he totally, totally outplayed his metrics the last couple of years. And so I'm expecting that kind of to even out a little bit. I don't think he's the top second baseman like people think he is.
I think two more guys we probably throw in there, I know from personal experience, would be Kenta Maeda, who people were very high on going into the year, and as well as Zach Gallen, who probably will fall much lower than he was this year as well. But I think between him and Yelich and Bellinger, when they do fall next year, I think they're really good buy low candidates for next year.
As long as you value them appropriately.
Yes, yes.
We'll be back next Wednesday where we'll dig into potential MLB trade candidates and scenarios and their fantasy impact. But in the meantime, you can tweet us at FastballPod, reach out to us on Instagram at FastballFantasyBaseball, or email us at FastballFantasyBaseball@gmail.com, and we'll respond. Your questions will make it onto the show, And we'll even shout you out. So drop your social media handles as well. Also, make sure you subscribe so you're notified when new episodes publish. If you want to get more info from me, I'm currently writing baseball, fantasy baseball, and baseball betting articles for thegameday.com. So check out my articles there. You'll see a bunch of articles coming up in the next couple of months. Thegameday.com is a great source for sports betting and fantasy news, so make sure to check it out. Also, check out creativesports2.com. That's the number two. I have a column there called Three Strikes, and I'll be posting there every Thursday. Finally, please give the show a 5-star rating. Each high rating will move this podcast up the list on all the podcast platforms when people search for fantasy baseball, so it's something that really helps me and Matt out. Thanks for listening.